At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Students Incorporated. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my team and I produce content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok. In today's episode, we are joined by a husband-wife duo, special guest Sang and Siri, and we'll be discussing the important topic of business and purpose along with personal growth and leadership. Also, a big shout out to this episode's sponsor, The Voice for the Voiceless Club of ICS. Their mission is to spread awareness and raise funds for people-related causes that aren't talked about, essentially bringing a voice to the voiceless. So a big thank you to the active advocates at ICS for sponsoring this episode. Okay, moving on, and before we jump into our first segment, let's hear our quote of the day and get some headline news.
Our quote of the day comes from the one and only Dalai Lama. Our prime purpose in this life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. I believe this quote to be very versatile because it applies to companies and people. Why live out there for the rest of your lives? Both you and I could try to live it out while trying to either do good or do no harm to others. Companies could make it their way of operating, and most companies would not thrive if their sole purpose was to harm others. So, be nice and don't be mean. I mean, it's up to you. And that's our quote of the day. Now on to some headline news with Mia.
Thank you for our quote of the day, Frank. Now for today, let me introduce some companies that adopted the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, presented to you by Medium.com. Our first SDG is focused on hunger, or quote-unquote, working towards Sustainable Development Goal Zero Hunger. Avant Meats is the first cultivated fish company in Asia with operations in Singapore and Hong Kong. Thanks to Avant's technology, which uses state-of-the-art cultivation processes that are both sustainable and scalable, they will be able to create fish meat without killing fish. Their cultivated fish products are more nutritious than conventionally produced fish, GMO-free, and pollutant-free. The product focus is fish and seafood tailored for the food culture of consumers in China and Asia. The next SDG goal would be clean water and sanitation. The UN estimates that 1.8 billion people will experience water scarcity by 2025. Since 2017, Mahik Water has deployed projects in Kenya, South Africa, and India, providing sustainable water solutions for Fortune 500 corporations and pairing with community impact projects, deploying 20,000 liters of drinking water per month to drought-stricken regions. The current system, which captures water from the air and converts it into drinking water, uses solar technology that can generate up to 10 liters of filtered water per day. The team is working to increase that to 100 liters per day and to reduce the cost to produce. And finally, the last SDG is quality education. New Tech Kids is a technology education academy in Amsterdam that is dedicated to igniting the problem-solving capabilities and innovative spirit of children. Their programs teach primary school children computational thinking and the fundamental concepts which power technology, programming, and information in the digital age. Gadgets, applications, software, and hardware change continuously, but the core concepts don't. And that concludes our headline news for this episode.
Thank you for the quote in the headline news. We welcome Sang and Siri to the studio, and we're excited to hear a little bit about their journey as people on purpose and what that looks like on a practical level. Mia will start us off with our first question.
Hi, Mr. Sang and Ms. Siri. It's a pleasure to have you both here in the studio with us. So for starters, could you both please introduce yourselves and share us your connection to the school?
Hi, my name is Sang. I currently serve on the ICS Board of Directors in the role of the chairperson. I've had the joy to serve in this role for 11 consecutive years out of 13 years of service.
Hi, my name is Siri. Yes, just like the iPhone Siri, but S-I-R-W-E. I'm a mom here. I have three kids in senior year, junior, and also seventh grade. Happy to be here.
All right. Thank you. And now, as a follow-up, and this is a question for both of you, could you tell us about the different businesses that you're both involved in?
So we do have a few different businesses. Today, we're going to focus on the coaching business, but I do have a skincare business as well that focuses on natural skincare, organic products that's really just healthier for your skin as an alternative for the mainstream products. But today, we're going to really focus on the fulfilled purpose coaching business, which involves the pickleball business as well. Really excited to share about that.
With so many businesses you guys have, we'd love to hear some of the backstories that you guys about your business. So can you tell us what inspired you to do these things and what did that personal journey look like?
Yeah, well, it's actually a really long story, but I want to make sure it's just succinct for the purpose of this podcast. But for me, as a health coach, and I really care about people, physical and internal, emotional things as well. So the skincare is really about the physical aspects of things. I want people to use health as a resource. As a health coach, we need to really recognize and acknowledge that our health is really one of the most important resources we can use to do things, to serve, to live, to go to school, to just do things in life to achieve success. So with health as a good resource, skincare is one of those things where people, you know, I myself had the problem where I was spending a lot of money on my skin. So I wanted a solution to offer affordable and natural skincare. And now with the coaching business, this is a passion for me in terms of leadership coaching. This has been ingrained in me since I was very young, doing different sorts of leadership roles and seeing that there's really a need for people to learn this, what you might call a soft skill, but it's a very important soft skill. And as my mentor, John Maxwell, says, everything rises and falls on leadership. So whether the organization succeeds or fails, the leadership at the helm, whether it's one person or a team or the board, really dictates that in the way they live out their leadership values. So that's how I got into leadership.
As a leadership coach, I focus on the executives, so the leaders of the organizations. It's not that other positions are not as important, but leadership, especially at the top end, is very lonely, and they have very unique challenges. And so as an executive coach, that's my forte. I come alongside, I support, and I journey with them, whether it be 6 weeks is the shortest engagement, to multiple years.
Yeah, for sure. And Mrs. Siri, on the topic of coaching, we'd love to hear more about your insight into the coaching initiative. So could you please explain to us a little bit about what fulfilled purpose coaching is?
Excellent. Great question. Thank you. So I'd love to share that. So basically, when we started this business, it was about 8 years ago, and coaching was very new to Thailand. And actually, the first people who came as life coaches in Thailand, they kind of took it in a different way, which isn't really coaching. So what coaching is more than just teaching. So, you know, everybody knows what teaching and training is. In Thailand, we have a quite saturated market for teaching and training in terms of business skills, English, team coaching, team training, things like that. We have a really big market here. So what training does is you send your employees to a seminar, to a workshop. They get trained in a certain skill, and then they go back to do whatever they're doing. Hopefully, they would apply those skills. But there's this kind of like disconnect because some people may really take that and apply it, but most of the time, they don't always apply what they learn on a regular basis. So if you're learning about leadership skills, if you're learning about communication, communicating in a way that people can actually receive that message and continue to apply it, say if you're learning business English skills, right, for example, something very specific, you learn in the class, but then when you go back to your daily routine of work, you go back to your old habits, you forget what you learn. So now coaching comes in when, for example, if a technical employee wants to step into a managerial role, they need another set of skills, right? What we say is that what got you here might not get you there, right? So coaching helps walk alongside that person to be able to apply new skills, leadership skills, soft skills, that allows them to work better in that new role and responsibility they've been assigned. So then I was introduced to coaching actually by somebody at my church. And so it was really eye-opening to me because it's like really interesting how powerful questions make such an important impact. In training and teaching, you're like one way. You're feeding them information. They may take a test, an assessment, and see if they pass. With coaching, you're having a conversation. right? So you actually allow that coachee to lead the conversation. So you may start off, okay, so what's on top of your mind? What would you like to work on today? So they may say, okay, as a women leader, so I work a lot with women leaders who are trying to step into leadership roles. And say, okay, I'm struggling with this because I've been assigned this role to also coach somebody who's a male. And this is a real dynamic that happens in the workplace. When a women leader steps up in Asian context, sometimes it's a little harder. And if you're younger, you're female, you're trying to supervise a male, maybe a technician, they may not respect you and there may be some passive aggressive behavior. So she may say, well, I'm struggling with this context. This happened last week. What do I do? Do I give them the solution as a coach? No, I don't have to know exactly what they need to do for their job. But all I just need to know is how to ask them the right questions so they have this kind of idea of where to tackle. Because the more they talk, the more you ask questions, the more they share their ideas, they're going to eventually land on, like, imagine you're on a big balloon, right? You're going up. The coaching conversation begins with a very big topic. So you're kind of up here seeing the landscape from above. And by the end of the coaching conversation, after 45 minutes, you want to be able to land somewhere where they're able to take two or three action steps within the next 2 weeks. So that's why I felt it was really powerful. I don't have to be an expert in any of the areas my coaches are. If they're a pilot, if they're an astronaut, we could coach astronauts. We can coach anybody where we don't have our expertise. But because we're able to just ask these questions, not prescribe any answers, not judging them in terms of their answers, and allowing them to land somewhere where they're able to take action steps. So we saw this really powerful transformation in different people and their growth in leadership. And that for me was just very, very satisfying.
I think sharing from experience, some of the unique things about coaching has been those light bulb moments that happen. It's often that leaders don't have the time to reflect or have the bandwidth to reflect because they're just busy trying to get things done. But asking even a simple succession of, say, a five whys, that's a system, five whys. You basically peel back layers of an issue. You ask, why is this particular thing happening? And then as you dig in with another level of why, there's additional clarity, right? You might ask why, but now pinpointing it to a particular person or situation or a time frame. And then by the time you dig five layers deep, it's typically at the very root cause of something that they didn't realize. So these powerful coaching questions and techniques allows a person to basically explore from multiple angles, multiple dimensions, and typically the issue of time is something that's often overlooked. And so it's very profound.
Definitely. Now, with coaching, there's going to be some leadership and growth with the customer. So could you talk about how leadership and growth look like on professional and personal level?
So it's all about growth. It's all about this posture of humility and willing to learn, being coachable. So when we engage with the company, the HR may have a list of people they want us to coach. Now, we may do a first kind of preliminary conversation with the person because not everybody wants to be coached and not everybody understands who is this person coming to tell me how to do my job. And we have to kind of dispel a lot of those misunderstandings. Like I shared just now that, you know, we're not there to prescribe them solutions. We believe that you know how to do your job better than us. Obviously, you know the best way to deal with your job. And there are certain criteria where if this person also is on the way out of the company, they're kind of giving them this last shot. Okay, we're going to give some coaching. If this works out, we'll keep them. If this doesn't work, we're going to let them go. We don't coach those individuals because we don't see potential for growth in the company. So we coach those who have potential for growth in leadership, in management. Like very often, it's a technical skill moving up to a managerial position. So those are the people we would, you know, have those conversations. If they're coachable, we would help them coach into their growth into managerial skills. Yeah. And this process could be 6 months. This process could be 6 weeks, depending on when the budget of the organization, depending on the timeline and things like that. And Coach Sang has a great case study. One of our clients is the Leprosy Mission. So they have a great, maybe Sang, you can share a little bit about that project.
For the Leprosy Mission, they're a global organization and they have a footprint in probably 40 different countries worldwide. It's assumed that leprosy, because it's not often talked about, it's a done deal. That leprosy no longer exists. but that's not actually the case. So there's a diverse group of both supporting countries that are fundraising, as well as implementing countries, which are actually doing the work of reaching out to actually help people determine whether or not they have leprosy. And then there are medical doctors and teams that actually help them do the surgeries and provide medication for them to alleviate their pain. The important thing about Leprosy Mission is that they are very aware that their leader...
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Leadership in order for them to reach their vision and their goals. They need to be equipped with the right tools, the right mindset, and in a holistic way that the entire leadership team is on board. So they begin with the vision that's very clear. They begin with the mission that's very clear. And as everyone is also aligned with the values, it allows them to support one another, come with the same foundation. And for myself, the past couple of years, I've coached 21 global leaders at the national levels for them to be able to not just impact their current teams, but also how they interact with other supporting teams in other countries. And so it's been a true joy.
I just want to add to that because I overhear some of the coaching conversations that he has. And it's just amazing that Coach Lang is so patient. Because when you're coaching, you're entering this conversation where you really don't know where the coach is going to take you. And it's your role to kind of bring them down, right? Have them get a safe landing after that big conversation. They can go in different directions. But Coach Lang's role is really to guide them to come down safely in a way. And it takes a lot of patience. This is really powerful. Because it's not just a time for them to just vent and just say anything, but really it's a productive time where you need to, after this, you have things you have to do and then come back, keep the person accountable to continue their growth in different ways. And each person's growth is very different, right? You'll see some are more coachable than others. You'll see some people are a little bit kind of forgetful as well. So the coach's role is really to continue to connect with them and remind them to stay on track.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like posture of learning, having that lifelong learning attitude, or even helping people reach their goals, their mission, and their visions, and also getting on the same page. Like, is it hard to not offer your own opinion and offer a service during the coaching sessions? That's just so hard. Yeah.
That's why he's a better coach than me, because for me, like, I want to solve your problem. Just let me teach you how to do this. But Sang would be like, yeah, so much more patient.
Well, I think that I'm very intentional in explaining that this is primarily a coaching relationship. So I will be asking most of the questions. But in certain situations that we become stuck, or it's like, I have no idea. I've tried XYZ. Nothing seems to work. I will intentionally ask, can I take off my coach hat and put on an advisor hat? I ask for permission. And when they do give me permission, then I give them ideas. And then I switch out that hat. And I think that's to remain conserve the integrity of me as a coach and respect them as a leader that has unique problems that no doubt they've tried to problem solve it, but they sometimes don't know any other way just because they're either young in their roles or, yeah, no one's mentored them before.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that answer. And now we'll be moving away from the coaching topic a little bit. And we'd actually like to hear more about personality assessments and what benefits or insights these tests can provide.
Yeah, absolutely. I love personality assessments. I'm just fascinated by people and personality because God really made us so unique and he uses this in different ways. And there's no negative personality. There's like no bad personality in the context of work. Now, it's just in the context of professional development, we can get the mistake where we're telling a monkey to go swim or telling a fish to climb a tree, right? So sometimes the frustrations of different managers come when I keep telling this person what to do. I give them all the resources. I tell them exactly what to do, but why are they still not succeeding or meeting my expectations? So sometimes we go back, okay, so who is this person? Is this a monkey or is this a fish? You know, just like figuratively. So when you dig deeper, we have different tools that we can use, like DISC is very popular. Our favorite one at FPC, Fulfilled Purpose Coaching, is actually Hogan, because it doesn't label people as a certain number or a certain letter, but it basically sees them on a spectrum of different things. So in terms of, we talk about the light side, the bright side of the person, the dark side of the person, and their values, what makes them tick. So the bright side is like what you see, their positives, their strengths, you know, the things that they bring to work. Most of the time, that's where they're hired for, you know, their strengths. The dark side are things that don't come out unless they're very stressed. So these things you may not see initially in a person at work, but if they're really stressed, they really press the corner, these things will come out. And these can derail them from stepping up into that new promotion, that next promotion. And then values, what is important to that person to make them tick? What motivates them to get up every day to do something? What is meaningful for them? And each person will be very different. And this spectrum will tell us the purpose is to either to hire. HR departments can use this tool, Hogan assessments, to hire people for a certain job. They can also use this tool for promoting within the company. And also they can also hire this to just as a team dynamic. So we're sitting here, five people sitting here at a table. We will look at our Hogan results and see, okay, where are some dysfunctions here? Where are some issues? Like, it really digs deep into, like, why are certain things happening that we just can't really put our finger on? So as a team workshop with these Hogan assessments out, and we're able to share safely, this is my result, this is my dark side, and really be honest with each other, honest with yourself, acknowledging it. And before we do the team dynamic session, we do it private first. So when I give the assessments, which I love to do to interpret the results, to tell them, okay, this is what I see, this is what you see, do you agree? What are your some comments? So we're seeing, again, we're not prescribing, okay, this is who you are, you have to be like this. But if statistically it is quite accurate to the person, but we obviously allow them to share their feedback to their own results. And that's very powerful because, oh, that's why, you know, this is why in this context, I'm like this. It's all context-based in terms of their specific role. And so we're very fascinated by using Hogan. And that is usually recommended before doing a coaching assignment with a coach. That way the coach understands them and they understand what is my derailer that is really keeping me from stepping up to that next level. It's great data to have.
For me, this is an area of challenge. I visualize it as the Matrix, all those green Japanese characters that are falling like rain. Siri sees it as pictures. I still see them as green dots. But I think what's fascinating is the detail that Siri is able to bring to unpack and visualize as to what that data means. It's an ability that if you are able to understand after interaction with the person, it brings this whole wealth of background knowledge that you wouldn't otherwise typically talk about. It provides insights into their own personalities that they might be shy to let others become aware. Yeah, so it's a very, very powerful tool, but it has to be done with the understanding, like Siri mentioned before, it's statistically very accurate. But when I do a debrief, I will often say, when you read through, have some highlighters in hand. Greens are the things that when you read it and you're like, this is absolutely something that I agree with, as well as a red highlighter to say, this is something I absolutely disagree with. Why? Because maybe those are their blind spots, right? And if they're the first person to identify it, then maybe also will likely be the person to say, I'd like to understand why this in this result is completely opposite of what my belief is. And then we can explore from there. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. The idea of a spectrum for personalities is a good assessment tool. Is this similar to like a continuum type concept? A person's personality is more nuanced than just being stuck into one category.
Absolutely.
And as a follow-up and final question for segment one, how does the idea of having a purpose with goals play into a person's professional and personal life?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very important. Now, the question, what's my purpose in life, is a huge question. Like, we don't try to help anybody answer that question, you know. So like what I tell my clients and even my kids, you know, what is your purpose in this season? Let's just look at this quarter. You know, it just break it down because your purpose changes. I mean, just as a testimony of myself. I wanted to go to art school. And then my dad said, you know, art doesn't make any money. You can't go to art school. So I went to business school. I did accounting and then followed by economics. So I went to business school just like he wanted me to. And that was my purpose, to finish well, you know, as a good student, as a good daughter. Then went to work for the private sector, well, nonprofit first and then private. And then eventually, what did I do? I ended up doing graphics anyway. I started my own company doing graphic design because that was me, you know, inside. So each purpose, I feel my purpose right now is no longer in that area because it's changed. It's become health coaching and pickleball, which we'll talk about next. So as you have these big goals, I like to help people break them down in terms of the time. You know, have it time bound within this quarter. What is your purpose in this quarter? Because we got to allow ourselves that room to change, to grow. And you never know how you'll surprise yourself as you grow into your 20s, 30s, 40s. Life is an adventure.
All right. Thank you. And that concludes our first segment. And I'd love to hear more about the graphic design part of your background. So, all right, we'll be right back after this short PSA announcement.
Let Joy Arise Pickleball Tournament EP3 and Festival is coming to ICS this November 29th to 30th. It falls on a Friday to Saturday. It has 24 events ranging from 14U all the way up to 60 plus categories, both in the advanced and open, which means that you not only have to be high level players, but you can also be beginners and intermediates and still have an opportunity to compete. We are looking for a variety of different positions to help us make this event a success. And the ICS community and students and volunteers have been integral and have allowed for this Let Joy Arise pickleball tournament to be a resounding success the past two times, both last November as well as this past March. We invite you to join us and sign up online or in front of Mr. Mike's office for the link and information. And as a special, just for ICS students, we are giving the registrations for free. Whether you apply for the 14U or 18U categories, so long as you're applying as an ICS student to compete, we will waive your fees. So come join and compete.
And we're back with our second segment, and we still have Sang and Siri in the studio. We're on the topic of purpose, leadership, and growth. Mia, go ahead and get us started again.
All right. Thank you so much for the PSA and for spearheading the pickleball sport here in Thailand. So could you start by telling us about what inspired you to start pickleball?
Well, this is totally Sang's idea. I think my strength is turning hobbies into businesses. And so when Sang told me about this, Sang, you got to do this, but let's figure out a business way to do it. But you got to share what got you into pickleball.
Well, I have a lot of time on the road, and so I love to listen to podcasts, you know, expanding my repertoire of knowledge. All right. And in one of these podcasts, I came to learn about pickleball and that it's how it's growing explosively abroad. But what really tickled my mind was how the reasons why pickleball is growing, it's not just because it's a new sport. It's actually an old sport. But the way it integrates both cross genders, cross ages, and people that have very low competency or have for sports or reduced athleticism, whether it be from injuries, whether it be from age, they're still able to play pickleball and play at not just a high level, but play it with joy. And from that, we were just intrigued that where do we play pickleball? And we found it very hard to find places and buy equipment. But what were problems, as Siri says, we could see this as a hobby or we can actually do this as a professional business. So let me segue to Siri.
Yeah, so we definitely saw it as a business opportunity, but our plate was pretty full already. Now, my background was in multimedia, e-commerce, graphics, right? It's like, if you really want to do this on the side, we can probably just start an online store and see how that takes off. And it literally took off. So like by April, May last year, we were like, okay, this is taking over so much of our time. Let's see how we can really explore this to make it a really sustainable business. So that's how we got into the business side of things. But now there's also the ministry side of things because we work with Bondgai Youth Center, which is in the Klong Doi Bondgai slum area around there, if you're familiar. So we kind of want to go, we've been doing this over 10 years. Just trying to be adults and mentors in this community where kids are basically raising kids. So it's not a slum community per se, it's a low-income community where the parents work really hard daily, all the time. So the kids are with each other a lot. Now, there's this youth center there. There's a basketball court, football court, and like just cement, ping pong equipment, things like that that we've been donating, sending volunteers to play with the kids. And then when we saw pickleball, I was like, wow, this is great. This is like a game that even girls can play because, you know, basketball, soccer is mostly male-dominated, mostly boys. So this is a sport that girls can pick up, older adults can pick up. Because while it was called the youth center, now it's recreational center because there's actually older adults who are doing dancing, tai chi, ballroom dancing there as well. So pickleball would be a perfect addition. So that's where we're like, okay, we got to kind of inject pickleball in this community to bring more joy. And that's one of the projects we've initiated this past year called Arise and Share the Pickleball Joy. And we had a brand launch at M. Courtier 19 September last year, right in the waterfall area there. We launched this charity project, launched our brand. So a lot of support from sponsors really aligned with our vision. And actually just this past Saturday, we went out to Lobbery and we gave equipment to a public school, which would be the 8th book.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
We've given free equipment to, and we didn't do this alone. They're like a pickleball community that meets in the mornings that had this connection to this community. So she was the one who initiated this project. And so we just come alongside with a lot of people who have like-minded heart and passion to share the pickleball joy.
It's obvious that pickleball fits into the topic of wellness. And it's cool to hear how this can be used to reach out to all people and in a way build a community. So moving on with the topic of wellness, what role does wellness play in your work? And how would you describe the wellness-focused business you have?
Yeah, so really interesting story. So the term Arise didn't start with pickleball. It was my health studio's name. I started this in November 2019, right before COVID. So Arise Health Studio, we started a studio in Lopini Tower. And so I had to close the studio in March 2020. So the name Arise was always there to Arise Health, have people more energy, you know, help restore people and things like that. So I'm a personal trainer and fitness nutritionist and health coach by training as well. And so when Zhang introduced me to pickleball, I was like, wow, this is really fun because you're burning calories, having fun. It's very social. So it really addresses the physical aspect of health, the social aspect of health, emotional health, just people being really lonely after COVID and during COVID. And so when, you know, you're as a health coach, you try to get people to walk. Okay, walking is really important. Walk, run, do some cardio. But people even dread walking. They don't like walking. It's like, it's so simple, just go walk. But they just, you know, but when you introduce pickleball, people are actually exercising at the same time. Yesterday, I mean, on my watch, an hour and a half, I burned 600 some calories. An hour and a half. So, you know, that's really effective and you're having fun, you're laughing, you're meeting new friends. So pickleball is so important in terms of, that's why we're really passionate about it, to introduce pickleball to so many people to get exercise. But obviously you have to have that nutrition aspect too, because sometimes you get really hungry and then you end up drinking and eating a lot more afterwards.
Can you share a little bit about the mental health aspect?
Yeah, so people are super lonely and we know that it's hard to make new friends as adults. You know, so enjoy your time in high school and college. It's easier to make friends. But as adults, it's a lot harder to make friends. But we have just been so amazed at how many connections we made over this past year. I think we've made at least 200 new friends or acquaintances, you know, on different levels of depth. But people just connect, right? All sorts of demographics, professions, ages, and the common factor is pickleball.
And what I've seen, multiple testimonies, people that were depressed and lonely, when they have a reason to leave their homes in order to play with others, to enjoy an experience together, and just the satisfaction from hitting a small ball inside a court. And, you know, sometimes you get smashed at, but sometimes you get to smash at others as well. It's deeply gratifying, as simple as that sounds, but it's something that's competitive, yet friendly. And so I think that it strikes this really unique balance as being one of the main reasons as to why pickleball has been so successful. And the other thing, Apple Watch, that's what the most popular watch or sold watch in the world. It tracks all this data. And the people that have been playing pickleball, especially the older generations, it's been statistically proven that it's helped to delay onset of Alzheimer's. Because that pickleball is both a slow and a fast game. So it requires you to be both strategic as well as power if you want to. And so using all aspects of your brain really helps with this mental health aspect. And that's, for me, amazing.
Yeah, that's so good to hear how a simple sport like pickleball, it can connect and be so engaging with other people. Like you said, like the 60 plus category in the Arise Pickleball Tournament. I think like no matter how old you are, playing games with other can also be enjoyable and fun. And also like just personally on a side note, I really like how your businesses are super successful, but you're also keeping the businesses in line with wellness, purpose, faith. So I think that's really great. And now that we're actually on the topic of faith, how does your own faith influence the purpose behind your businesses and your approach to serving others?
My faith definitely affects everything that we do in terms of seeing people more than just the surface level, because we see that God made each person for a very specific purpose. And each purpose, you know, you got to respect that maybe you might expect them to be a certain way, but in the end, you got to let God have the room to see how they grow in different aspects. And this is in the context of coaching, in the context of bringing pickleball to youth in the Bondi community, because these kids are believing in karma. You know, they believe they're stuck in this situation. I'm poor. I don't have anything. My parents aren't here with me because of something bad I did in my last life. And our message has always been that is not true. You know, you have control of your life to a certain extent, and we want them to feel empowered. We want them to feel seen that God loves you, God sees you, you have potential. And this is where we want to build kids up in a way outside the school, using pickleball and sports as a tool so that they can feel good about themselves. Because when kids are able to accomplish something, they're able to hit a goal, kick a goal, and they're able to shoot the basketball in the hoop, they're able to play pickleball and win, they feel good about themselves. And that is self-efficacy, helping them feel empowered. And that way, that is a bridge for them to know that they were created with a unique purpose, that they are special, they are loved, and they can grow out of this situation that they're born in. You know, these things are out of their control, but there are certain things you can control. The effort you put in into a certain sport, the effort you put into school, the effort you put into relationships. And that's where we come in, where we want to be those adults in these relationships, where if they ever need anybody to talk with, if they ever need anybody to listen to them and just be there to have fun, we can be there. We're not there to bash Bibles on their heads. We believe it's all about relationship, because we do this with love. Because without the love, what's the point? You know, what's the point if we go and we teach all sorts of things and the kids may learn, they may not learn, but then we're doing it out of some religious duty? I don't think that's going to bear fruit the way that God desires, because we need to depend on Him to share His love. And this love, the giving that we give to each these communities, whether it's these schools and youth centers, is not giving out of fear. And actually our values for our company is in the acronym GIFT, G-I-F-T. So giving generosity, not just because it feels good to give, not because we're doing this to get merit. We're generous for impact. So that's the I. Be generous for impact so that it actually impacts a person. There has to be some kind of fruit that we pray will come out from what we do. And then faith-filled. Always do with faith, not making decisions out of fear. Because in business, sometimes we are afraid of the bottom line, because it's a reality. But as long as we are aligning things with what God wants us to do, we're making decisions on faith, not fear. We're able to give out of a spirit of joy. And then we want to be true to mission. Our mission is not about paddles in terms of Arise Pickleball. It's about the people. It's always about equipping people, empowering people. And that's why we sponsor athletes. So one day in 8 years, 12 years, if pickleball gets into the Olympics, SEA Games, Asian Games, we will have a Thai national team where we had a little part in investing in these athletes to sponsor them with the best equipment possible to play their game the best so that they can be elevated to the national level. So all this is really undergirded by our faith, knowing that people are created for a purpose. And we want to come alongside people as coaches, as equippers, to help them have the resources in their hands to do their best, be their best, and fulfill their purpose.
Definitely, definitely. So our next question now has to do with the habits. And this question is also for both of you. We know that you have led the Habits Workshop. So could you share some of your insights on cultivating healthy habits, both personally and professionally?
It's definitely very more habits. You know, behavior will build habits and habits build character. And so the opportunity to sow into high schoolers, ICS, is so important. You know, if you have bad habits now, it's going to be really hard to break habits in the future. So we believe that as long as you're able to identify positive habits, negative habits that would derail you, and are able to implement habits consistently in a way that's realistic, it can really be a powerful tool for you to propel yourself towards whatever goal you have. And again, within the context of time, within this quarter. So in our Habits Workshop, we work on habits that are meaningful to you. You know, so if sometimes it's kind of tricky because people think habits and activities or goals and activities are the same thing, but it's not. So for example, if your goal is to wake up at 6 a.m. every day, that's not necessarily a meaningful goal. I would dig a little deeper. Like, so why is that important to you? You know, so sometimes it's really interesting, right? Because when the Habits Workshop, we just dig and the kids ask a little bit more until we get, okay, that's the goal. Because I want to be able to have my parents proud of me or things like that, you know, but that, again, is also not a very clear goal. So we dig a little deeper into that. So, but habits, as long as you have these practical things you're able to do now, you can apply them in the next stages of your life, in college and beyond.
All right, thank you for that answer. And now, just as a follow-up question, what are some practical ways a person can integrate purpose, faith, and wellness into both of their professional and personal lives?
I think it's about knowing yourself, being somewhat self-aware, knowing what you like, knowing what you should say no to, knowing what you should say yes to in certain seasons, and knowing what you believe God has called you to do in this particular season, right? So we have goals, we have ideas of our life that we want to do. But for us, just an example, we have 3 kids, very busy season, right? Namkeeng and Thonam, senior, junior, they're more independent. They're doing their own things, but yet we want to really spend this last year with Namkeeng because she's about to leave for college. So, but then we have our business that we could go further, faster right now, but then we will be sacrificing time with our kids. So again, it comes down to values. What do I want to say yes to, say no to, so that I don't regret 2024, right? So I have to say no to certain things. And then I have to be able to also know where I'm self-sabotaging a little bit, because honestly, I'm an introvert, right? So like being in front of people, things like that is really hard and I dread it. But then after I do it, I'm like, okay, I'm glad I did that, right? So those things where I'm like, okay, this is an opportunity. God wants me to take this platform, even though I don't want to take the platform. And then after I do, I was like, okay, God, thank you for allowing me to do that. Just a very simple example. We know a lot of people in the pickleball, you know, and then most of them are different, you know, worldviews, things like that, right? So they had a Halloween party, which we don't celebrate Halloween. There's like a black and white, not what's called neon, right? Glow-in-the-dark pickleball party. And we're like, we don't really want to be a part of that because, you know, we don't associate ourselves with Halloween and dark things like that. But I really felt God telling us to go and be a part of this to build relationships. So we went, and there were so many meaningful conversations at that party. And just because we feel like black and white, oh, Halloween, no, right? But then you pray a little bit more and seek God for what is important to Him, which is the people. We're not going for the Halloween party. We're going for the people to make those connections, have those conversations. So that really drives you in terms of, you know, the decisions you make. And time for yourself, rest is important because I'm a recovering workaholic. I used to sleep at 3 a.m. when I was doing graphics. I was like a slave to my clients. So again, that's just realigning my mind. I'm not a slave to my work. I'm doing this because it adds value, but I'm also going to be able to have to say no and retreat and just rest as well, because I can't be pouring out from emptiness, right? I need to be filled to do that with joy.
Definitely. Now, looking ahead, are there any new projects or initiatives you've been on the horizon?
We believe in partnerships, and we believe that synergies will allow for big ideas to come about in a much better way, in a quicker way. And it also reduces risk, because if everyone's bringing their own interests and their own strengths to whatever project, whatever initiative, it almost guarantees that whether fast or slow, it will succeed. And same thing, we've taken the same principles to the business of pickleball. Looking at the sponsorships that we've been able to approach and receive, the holistic approach of partnerships is the backbone of why it's successful. We are inviting companies such as Tigerplast that does bandages to a pickleball tournament because people will get injured. Why not bring them to get preventative care such as bandages or wristbands or elbow bands or whatever the rest? And what about hotels? Well, if hotels is a place where people go to rest and have fun, can they also not partner with a pickleball tournament? Well, there'll be some venues that are coming to support our event as well too. Tsukumitsoi 56 is just on the horizon, and we've been given the green light to be able to share this. So Tsukumitsoi 56 is going to have two designated premium covered pickleball courts. And it's a very quaint soi, but it's a very athletic side street because there's a fitness gym just down the road. There's a tennis court already there, plus a pickleball, a basketball court as well too, plus these two upcoming pickleball courts. And it's going to be, for lack of a better word, player-centric pickleball court, meaning that the courts will actually have enough room that you're able to play safely. It's not squeezed into a small area with just enough room to swing your paddle and then bump into the back wall, but it's actually going to be player-centric. So very, very excited.
And just as a follow-up question, do you think it would be possible to have a pickleball court here at ICS?
Well, ICS has 12 courts that we're going to be using for our pickleball tournament because it uses the same lines, outside lines, as a badminton. And so that's why it's able to grow so fast, because all you need to do is buy the right net. You have some paddles, you have a ball, you're at it. You just have to retape one line, which is called the non-volley zone or the kitchen line. And it's legit. Yeah. So it's super easy.
That's great. Wow, that's great. Okay. All right. So like you said, Mr. Tsang, partnerships are definitely really important, and it will be interesting to follow the growth of the new pickleball-focused facility. And finally, now that we are on the final question of this episode, we like to end our guest segments by asking you guys for advice. So what advice would you give to someone or anyone who wants to create something meaningful and purpose-driven, business or otherwise?
Well, I believe Sirius touched on this before, that God has uniquely equipped each person with passions and interests and giftings. I would encourage them to explore it. Go for it. No regrets. I think that at the end of your life, or when you bump into significant hurdles, regrets are oftentimes the biggest things to process. So without regrets, whether you succeed or fail, it's likely that you will have learned and you would have grown. And so that would be my last words.
Yeah, for me, just don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't take yourself too seriously, you know, because there is grace to be had. And as long as you are trusting God in everything you're doing, even when you make those mistakes, you have this safety net in His grace. And as long as you're learning something from that, you know, you're going to keep growing. And yeah, and as a high school student, a college student, you have so many opportunities to learn so many things. And so to really take that opportunity to learn. Lifelong learner, ICS values, right? Keep doing that. And yeah, I think biggest life lesson for me is don't be afraid of mistakes.
All right. Thank you very much for that advice. And so important to think about not being afraid to fail. And when we do make mistakes, we can get up from that and keep moving forward. So purpose is important, especially when starting something new. Know why you're doing it and tell others the purpose as well. Get out there and try, but know your purpose first. As we end this episode, it's good to reflect on why we do things. Our actions and activities are what we do. Our methods and strategies are how we do it. And most importantly, the purpose and reason is why we do it. Stay tuned for our next episode as we talk to a panel of college reps who have some insider advice and experience on higher education. And as always, this podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives, sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.